from the latest happenings on the diamond.
Still getting on base a lot with walks. We have not seen the power as much as we have, but he's having really good at-bats.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
I mean, yeah, a charcuterie board is just like, you know, peak bougie. Let's just be honest, right? Like, if you really think about the concept, like, you're just throwing some meat and cheese on a plate.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Ewald Automotive. Shop the Ewald Automotive Group's exclusive best used car selection of over 600 of your favorite cars, trucks, and SUVs. Visit any of their 8 locations or shop online at ewaldauto.com. Ewald Automotive, where we make it easy.
Always great to hang out with Sophia Minert each and every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Okay. I used to know how to be a fan. I'm having to relearn how to be a fan. Sophia, I rely on you to tell me how to be a baseball fan, okay? Gabe was my guide when it came to the NBA. He said, don't care about the regular season, only care about the postseason. And I'm still having a tough time with that. Can I be excited about the Brewers having a 16-8 record, one of the best in all of Major League Baseball at this point because it is still just the beginning of May?
Yeah, I mean, they're winning a lot of games, so why wouldn't you be excited about that?
I just want to make sure that I'm still allowed to do that because I'm not sure when I'm supposed to, right? Like this all seems like we're trying to protect our fandom or something like that by not like riding the roller coaster of getting too high or getting too low. We always talk about, oh, stay even keeled. But this feels significant, Sophia.
Well, yeah, I mean, that saying is definitely true in the baseball season, right? Like, you know it's a roller coaster ride, and you're still getting on the ride anyway as a fan, and I think sometimes we all have to remember that, right? Like, we all signed up for this. but the ride is the fun part. But look, it has been a very good month for them and one of their best in franchise history. You know, they had 15 wins in April. There were only three teams across baseball. It was the Brewers, the Mets, and the Yankees that got to that mark. So, you know, they're winning their division series, which is always important when you get to the end, when you get to September and you're trying to lock up a division title, which they're certainly trying to do. So, look, I mean, first place in April, does it mean as much as first place in September? Absolutely not. But I think, you know, there's also this saying in baseball, like, you can't win the division in April, but you can lose the division in April. So they're doing their part. They're just winning series, and that's the goal kind of the rest of the way, just win series.
Sophia, are there concerns, though, with some of these batting averages? I know it's early in the season, but I look at, like, Adames, 231, McCutchen, 211, Renfro, 232, Yelich, 213. Will that get better as they, you know, get more at-bats, or is there a concern, or where are we at right now?
Yeah, I think that roller coaster ride is, like, the most true right now when you look at, like, these batting averages. I mean, especially at the early part of the season, it feels like it can change at-bat to at-bat, right, because the sample size is so small. So, yeah, I mean, yes, I do think those players, they're hitting below average, and all of that will even out. Like, Andrew McCutchen last night had three really hard hit balls that were line drives right at people. And even he had some pretty great reactions of like, man, really, uncle, like, what more do I have to do? You know, like, I'm hitting the ball hard. It's a good at bat and it goes right at somebody for an out. So, you know, I do think that does even out. You know, Willy Adames just won National League Player of the Week, and he got off to a really slow start in April. He's always been a slow starter. His dad even told me that after the game the other day. He was like, I've never seen Willie play well in April, like, at any level of his life. So, and then he goes out and he wins National League Player of the Week, and he had another homer last night. So that's five in the last week for him. So, yeah, these things, they do end up evening out at the end.
Sophia, how early is too early for a drink?
Oh, wow.
That's a dangerous question.
What an interesting transition. What are the circumstances? Is the sun up? Let's start there.
Okay, so
we brought it up because
I was going to see what you were going to say without context, but the context is,
I need some context.
Yeah, we found out today that the Green Bay Packers are playing an 8:30 a.m. Central Time game because they're going to be playing in London. They're taking on the Giants in early October, and I said, hey, if you're watching the Packers, go ahead. Feel free to crack open that beer because you're watching the Packers. You should do whatever you do normally for a game. Whereas Jen and Chew are trying to be like, well, it's got to be like a Bloody Mary, a mimosa. You got to hide it a little bit.
Yeah, are you going like a superstitious route of like just stick to whatever your fan routine is?
No, I just think of like tailgating, and even though it's a road game, like I think of when I worked in Madison and the Badgers are playing at 11 a.m. and I'm walking to set up for our tailgate in our pregame show that starts at 9 a.m. and I'm seeing people drinking and enjoying themselves pregaming for the Badger game at like 6:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, tags and eggs, yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, Sophia gets it, guys.
Well, I grew up in Madison, so I grew up with that scene. But I agree. I think it's like make it time appropriate. So I feel like the 8:30 kickoff, that to me just screams, you know, brunch tailgate. I feel like that's going to be a big brunch day for breakfast brunch day for everyone. So mix in like the morning drinks with the mimosas, the Bloody Marys. What else could be in there? I guess maybe a tequila sunrise if you wanted to get aggressive.
So that's the thing we were saying is
I'm not a beer drinker, so that's not going to be a part of my time there.
So what is it about drinking in the morning that we feel like guilty? We feel like we have to disguise it? You feel like you have to have an OJ or a tomato juice with it to make it feel like, I mean, I'm drinking, but I'm also having some juice.
Well, the problem is the next day when there's no game and you're like, maybe I'll just have a dry. I had one yesterday at 8:30 in the morning. Why don't I just have another one?
You're cracking open one at 8:30 on a random Wednesday. I got questions.
There's a lot of questions there.
So is it that we have to disguise it? Is that what it is, Sophia? Sorry, I don't mean to step on you, man. But is it that we have to disguise the beverage in the morning? Is that what it is? Is that a guilt thing? Is it we're kind of giving into, we feel like degenerates because we're drinking so early?
Probably, right? I think we just don't want to be shamed or judged for our morning drinking, right? I think you're just trying to hide it or you're trying to be, I don't know, more, I guess it probably makes us feel more appropriate about it.
I think this is pullable, to be honest with you guys.
What's the earliest you've ever had a drink, Sophia?
Oh, boy. Probably going back to my college days. I'm sure there were some afternoon Marquette days or Badger game days, like you said, the 11 o'clock kickoff that I went to. I'm sure there was morning drinking involved there.
That's not a specific
time.
Yeah,
I don't need a time.
Well, what's the time?
Jen can back me up on this. I feel like when you get to the part of life where you start to be in your friend's wedding, and Jen, you've probably been in this scene before. Sometimes you have to be there ready to go at the hotel for hair and makeup and whatever at 7:30, 8 a.m., and what's the first thing that they pass around? A glass of champagne, some mimosas, some, you know, bagels, whatever to get you going in the morning. So does that count?
Yeah, of course it counts.
Now let me ask you this, Sophia, because earlier in the show I called champagne champy and the guys made fun of me. Have you ever heard champagne called champy before?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Champy, I've never heard of it.
Play the thing.
No.
Yes.
No,
because
after you make the sound, I don't think it's worth
it. How else is he going to know what sound I'm talking about if I don't make the sound first? Sophia, I think this is pullable because it does feel like people feel more comfortable having a morning bevy if it's a mimosa or if it's a Bloody Mary as opposed to a beer. There's something about some shame associated with just housing a beer at 8 a.m. as opposed to, no, it's a mimosa. No, it's a Bloody Mary. What is that? Like, so the psychological, what is that?
The tomato juice is like the brown paper bag of like the psychology of it?
That's what I'm trying to say, right? Like, I feel like that there are, and again, your point is well made, Gabe, about the tailgate in Madison or elsewhere. Yes, there's something socially acceptable about pounding beers at 8 a.m. if you have a game at 11 a.m. But otherwise, I feel like most people kind of protect themselves with the juice. Am I wrong about this? This feels like a sociological, psychological thing.
I mean, really, in the last 10 years, really, the last 10 months, whom among us hasn't had a 9 a.m. Celsi on a Saturday?
A Celsi?
But here's the other.
Celsi, wow.
But here's the other thing about the Bloody Mary is typically it will come with a little mini beer chaser.
Yeah, but a Bloody Mary means you got drunk last night.
Bloody Marys are gross.
Right?
No.
Yes, it does.
No, I'll have a Bloody Mary if, like, on a Saturday morning brunch. Me and my fiance go out. Like, I'll have a Bloody Mary, even though, you know, wasn't drinking the night before.
I love Bloody Marys.
They're really good.
No, Sophia, where do you come down on the Bloody Marys? Big fan?
I'm in.
That's a total Midwest drink.
I'm in, and I don't think it's a hangover drink.
And see, Dario says the same thing.
It's a total Midwest drink.
He's from Florida. He hates them.
I've never had one on the East Coast. Never really seen. Yeah.
And the beer chaser is very Wisconsin-specific. Yes. I feel like if you have a Bloody Mary anywhere else, you will not get that beer chaser. And people that come here and get the beer chaser, they're very confused about what it's for.
Free beer? This place is great!
We've all seen this, right?
Like, yes.
The beer chaser is a very Wisconsin-specific.
But even the salad you get with the Bloody Mary, that's not...
Are they putting lettuce in your Bloody Mary?
No, but they put celery, pickle, olives, horseradish, asparagus.
There is nothing better, though, guys, than a Bloody Mary bar where you make your Bloody Mary so you can make it as spicy as you want, and then you have all of the things, all of the accoutrement that you get to pick from, and you say, oh, I'd like two pickles, oh, I'd like some sausage, a few cheese curds to throw on top of it.
I don't go to a restaurant to work.
For a while, it seemed like everybody was making the little side for the Bloody Mary bigger and better, like... People were throwing like sliders.
Somebody had a burger on it. I saw somebody with a rotisserie chicken one time.
Yeah, I'm out on that. I just want the drink.
Sophia, appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Continue to enjoy this run that the Milwaukee Brewers are on, and I will take your advice and I will continue to be excited about what is happening down there at AmFam Field. We'll talk to you again soon, Sophia.
All right. Thanks. Have a great day.
I think it's psychological.